Welcome to Life Church, where we believe in equipping people for an extraordinary life in Christ through the Word, Spirit, and relationships. We hope this podcast will enlighten and bless you.
Well, today our theme is radioactive. You haven't picked that up yet. And I want to get right into the Word. Would you welcome everybody watching on the internet right now? Good morning. God bless you wherever you are around the country. Grab your Bibles, if you would, please. Hold those up in the air. Repeat this after me. This is my Bible, and I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have, and I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open my heart and my mind to God's Word today. Amen. All right, open up to Acts chapter 5, if you would, please. Acts chapter 5. I'm excited to talk to you today about the power of God, the anointing of God. I think today is a very important day. I believe God's going to activate many of you, reactivate many of you. I want you to have an awareness. I want to remind you of some things. And for some of you, maybe I'm introducing you to some things for the first time. The idea of radioactive, where does that come from? Well, the definition of being radioactive means this: having or producing a powerful and dangerous form of energy. Radioactive. And that energy is called radiation. Now, how many of you want to start being dangerous to the devil? Anybody? I think it's time that we start projecting some danger around us to the enemy's kingdom. And there is a power of God on the inside that flows through us that causes great damage and destruction to the kingdom of darkness. And it's time that we start understanding it and start anticipating it and utilizing it intentionally. Radiation, going back to radioactive, radiation. Radiation is the action or process of radiating. Thank you, Pastor Kevin, for that clarity. The process of emitting radiant energy in the form of waves or particles. I'll say that again. The process of emitting radiant energy in the form of waves or particles. And I'm going to talk to you today that there is an anointing, there is an unseen ability and power from the kingdom of God that, like waves that are unseen in the air, even like radioactivity that's all around us, you don't know it's there, but it's there, and it's tangible, it's real, and it's really affecting change. There's an anointing and there's a presence of God that is flowing through you. Doesn't matter if you're male or female. Doesn't matter if you're young or old. If you're spirit-filled man or woman in God, the kingdom and the power of that kingdom and the Spirit is flowing like waves through you into the world around you. And it's time to start believing and being intentional about that. I'd like to remind you today that you are radiant. Come on, that's a great word for you today, right? You can look over the person next to you, give them a couple snaps. I am radiant. You own that word. Wouldn't that be good today? Radiant. The idea of being radiant, having or showing an attractive quality of happiness, love, or health. Doesn't that sound like the body of Christ should look? Having or showing an attractive quality of happiness and love and health. We're healthy in mind, body, spirit. We're healthy in showing that level of happiness. The joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, being the body of Christ, wherever we go, we don't project death, we project life. Amen. When we go to church and we go into this world, we're not going to a funeral. We're going to bring life to the dead. They're the dead. We're the living. And so we show what life looks like. We project, and there's something radiating, shining from us. Actually, the word radiant has within it the definition of the word bright and shining. You know, the Bible, Jesus himself, in speaking of his coming children, his coming kingdom citizens, he said, "You are a city on a hill. You are a light that cannot be hidden. You were meant to be radiant. You were meant to radiate. You were meant to emit and to shine the goodness, the love, the truth, but also the power of God." Sent out from something is another way of being radiant. Sent out from something in rays of waves that you cannot see. Goes back to that again. You are carriers of the love of God. You are carriers of the truth of God. But today, primarily, I want to talk to you about being carriers of the power of God. Going back to those mindsets and ideas of what we call the anointing. Everyone's great with talking about the fact that we're carriers of God's love, and we should. We should carry compassion. We should carry servanthood and meeting the needs that are around us. It's good. We need to carry the love of God. And we know we're meant to carry the truth. We have to carry the message of the gospel. It is by the gospel of Jesus Christ that people can be saved. You have to be able to speak the truth. But I want you to know that you're not just a good person that carries nice works that has a message. There is a power that is coming from your life, and it's the power of the kingdom of God. There is an unseen wave, an unseen presence that you walk around in, so that when you do act in love, there is something upon that action that is even greater than someone who just acts in love without that anointing, without that action. When you do speak the truth, that truth carries within it the power to back up what you're saying. You don't just speak words. This world is filled with people that speaks words. But the words that you speak have something upon them and something within them that transforms somebody's life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So today I want to talk to you and help you identify and be reminded of the anointing that is upon you. See, there's been some weird pendulums that happen in church sometimes. One is that we're all talk and we don't do anything. There was a generation or a season where people, they talked about what needed to be done. They spoke against all the ills of society and the ills of the world. We were great talkers, but we did not get involved very much. And we sat in our churches and we judged the earth, but we did not get involved with being the solutions to the problems of the earth. Then all of a sudden this kind of wave of social involvement comes in and we realize, man, we got to get back to feeding the poor. We have to get back to clothing the naked, and we have to get back to being involved in social issues and helping where there's hate and there's prejudice and in government, we've got to start serving. But then what happened is in this weird pendulum, we started keeping our mouths shut because we started saying, we used to talk such a great game and now we're going to just show it with our actions. And now we've been too silent sometimes where we're just acting like the world getting involved, but we forget that we're not only supposed to get involved, but we do have the truth. And so we need to be both mighty in words and in deeds. They need to come together. But I want to remind us that when we're getting involved with our hands and we're getting involved with our words, there is a power that is upon those actions. There is a power that is upon those words, the anointing of God, which is the power of the kingdom of God upon you, to go further than just someone who's being nice or feeding a poor person without the power of God. Or someone who's trying to give somebody hope, but they don't have the power of God in giving them hope. They have a human wisdom. They have a human reasoning. See, human kindness and human wisdom can go so far, but the power of God can go all the way. See, the power of God can go into the unseen part of a person's life and break bondages and yokes that just acts of kindness and words of affirmation cannot break, because the power of God is needed to set the captive free. Are you understanding what I'm saying there? See, that's where there is something more upon you and flowing through you than just being nice and just having something to say. There is an anointing upon you. You are radiating. You are radioactive. There is an unseen presence and power that you sometimes forget because it becomes common to you. And you cannot see. It's not like you see that power, but I'm reminding you today that it is present and it is real. And I want you to start expecting more from it. And because when you start understanding it, you're aware of it, and you understand the value and the ability of it, then you begin to say, God, here am I, send me, because you realize that there is a power upon you to effect great change. There is an ability upon your life, upon your words, upon your acts of service that goes beyond what natural man can do. And so we don't leave humanity into the hands of natural people. We say, God, we're the church. We're the salt. We're the light. We're your body. We're your temple. Send me. And there's a confidence that comes because you realize you're not doing it as you. You're doing it in him, and you're doing it with him flowing through you. See, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20 says it like this, talking about the idea that, yeah, you have a message. Yes, you have good works. It says, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It is living by God's power. You are more than words. There's a power on your life. You are more than just acts of kindness. There's a power in those acts. There's an anointing emanating from you. There's the presence of the kingdom and the reality of God that's emanating from your life. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, this is John the Beloved. And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, in talking to the body of Christ, just like I'm talking to you today, he says this, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. And I'm here to remind you of that today. You have an anointing. You have an anointing. You do. Not just the apostles, not just the disciples, not just the pastors or the preachers. You, child of God, you have an anointing, and that comes from God. It comes from the Holy One. Pastor Kevin doesn't give you that anointing. Some of these other people, they don't give you that anointing. God himself designed and gave you of his own power, of his own presence. He gave you an anointing to do something with it. Now, you might ask yourself, well, what is the idea of an anointing? What is that? You might be new to church, and that might be an uncommon phrase for you. I don't want to take for granted that everybody understands that somebody be using that word, an anointing. The anointing of God throughout the Bible is God's ability, God's spirit, God's power coming upon a person to do the task and the assignment that God has placed upon their lives. It's a covering. It's a saturating. It's something coming upon or within. It's an ability. It's an ability to do the assignment. You see, back in the Old Testament, kings were anointed. Prophets were anointed. Priests were anointed, and all of them were serving God's people and serving the missions and the purposes of God. So you understand, in this dispensation, this side of the cross, you actually are all three of those positions. You are a king, you are a priest, and you are a prophet in this earth. And you know what? You need to be anointed for those things. You needed to be anointed to be the king in the culture and in economies and in marketplace media and all that stuff, to be a ruler and authority. You need to be anointed to do that. See, here's the thing. Kings had natural abilities to rule, but in God's kingdom, they were not meant to rule with their natural ability alone. The anointing comes upon their natural ability so they could take their natural ability and God could turn up the volume of productivity, the volume of power and ability on that king so they could do what was beyond their ability to do. So they could do God-sized vision, God-sized dreams, and they would not be limited by their deficiency or by the humanity because they're linked to the kingdom of God. Are you understanding what I just said there? And so you, the anointing that comes upon your life, joins upon your current talents, your current abilities, your current gifts, but then adds the God factor, adds the God power, the God talent, the God ability to help you go even above and beyond what you could do in just your own natural ability. That's the anointing of God. It's God upon us, God in us to accomplish the will of God through us. And so you are a king, you are a priest, you are a prophet in this earth. And you need to be anointed. And see, every one of them in the Old Testament, they had that moment where holy oil, this olive oil, was put upon them. And that olive oil was symbolic of the Holy Spirit of God coming upon their life. And now they were able to do the assignment because they would do that assignment not as a natural man or woman, but as a supernatural man or woman, being able to be natural, but to have God super upon their natural to accomplish the will of God on the earth. And that's you. Again, like John, sometimes why would John have to remind the body of Christ, hey, you have an anointing from the Holy One? Because sometimes in the commonness of life, in the pressure of life, in whatever's going on, we forget we're anointed. And so John is reminding them, you have an anointing from the Holy One. And you know what? You didn't earn that anointing. It was given to you by the grace of God. I'll remind you of that today because you can't buy the anointing of God. Some people try to buy the anointing by how much they pray or how much they are perfect or whatever. But just like salvation, you couldn't earn salvation and you can't earn the anointing. It is given to you by the grace of God. Now, in praying and in use, you develop and you mature in that anointing. And you learn how to flow in it, but you did not buy it and you did not earn it by your good works. You are anointed because God, the Holy One, has given you an anointing. I want to challenge you. There is more going on with you and through you and around you than you currently realize. And I hope today you understand so that you can intentionally begin to say, okay, God, I am anointed too. It's not just people on a platform, because you need to understand every one of us has a platform. Every one of us has a congregation out there. Every one of us has a mission field, an assignment, part of the kingdom to expand. And you must realize you're anointed to do it. God didn't ask you to go out there in your arm of the flesh. He didn't ask you to go out there in your own natural abilities alone. He's anointed you to go do it. And sometimes when you feel inadequate, you by faith rely on the anointing that's on you and say, you know what? I don't feel qualified, but I've been anointed for this assignment. I'm going to lean into that God, unseen God ability upon me, and I'm going to go back to work. I'm going to go back to the boardroom. I'm going to go back to the classroom, and I'm going to let the anointing do what my natural mind says can't be done. But I know God is upon me, so I'm saying, here am I, send me. Rather than running away from the problem, I run to the battle. That's the army of God. That's the people of God. Amen. But you got to realize you're the anointed of God to be able to do that. Or you'll run away from giants. Or you'll run away from mountains because you evaluate yourself rather than having confidence that I'm anointed to do this. I've been anointed to do this. And God's anointing can break any yoke and any bondage. Amen. That's the power of the kingdom, the power of the Spirit of God. And I'm telling you today, it's real. And somehow in modern day church, we forget some of this stuff and we chalk it up to mystical or we chalk it up to fictional. But I'm trying to tell you, our Bible describes a power that's emanating from us, describes an authority, describes a presence that's coming from the people of God. And we've forgotten that it's happening. And in not knowing about it, then we become something we were never meant to be. We shrink down who we are. It's time for us to remember, like David. It's just like David. Goliath told the children of Israel they were worms and they were dogs, and they believed it. But the truth is they were covenant anointed people. And David, when he heard that, knew that was a lie. And David said, I'll then be the one to stand up against that giant. I don't care if I'm too young, too short, not even in the army. I'm anointed. I'm a child of God. I'm part of the nation of Israel. I'm a child of covenant. And that giant, no matter how big he is, I'm bigger than that giant. That wasn't David looking at his stature. That was David looking at the fact that I'm a child of God with the power and presence of God and the covenants of God in my life. There's something on me that's greater than that challenge that stands before me. Amen. Yeah, you're allowed to clap. I don't know. Maybe you needed permission. You're allowed to be excited. That's okay. That's okay. It's all right. Man, I'm so excited about us remembering who we are. I'm so excited about us remembering that you're not just a natural human being in that situation. You're a human being empowered by the kingdom of God. There is an anointing on your life, and it's real and it's tangible. And the world is being changed around you. Sometimes you don't even realize it's happening. When you walk into a room, God starts making change because you're not expecting it. You're not looking for it. You miss many opportunities. But when you start expecting and looking, you can actually start seeing God moving in certain people, even in a boardroom or in a business meeting or in a classroom. You can start seeing hearts being open, hearts being changed. Certain conversations are happening. That's the anointing almost teeing up the ball. And sometimes you don't hit the thing because you're not looking for the ball. But when you walk into life knowing there's an anointing going before you, then you start looking for God and then the Holy Spirit teeing up the ball and you start hitting some home runs. But it's the anointing that's making that opportunity happen and you just walk into it. Man, that was a good word. And I didn't even say that in the other two services. That was for you. Amen. Open your Bibles to Acts 5. Have you found it? I told you about it 15 minutes ago. Acts chapter 5. I just want you to see that the anointing is real. The presence of God, the power of God emanating from your life is real. I want to talk to you about Peter. Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 17. I'll read a little bit of the backstory. I know I said 14 on the screen, but I want you to see this is after the day of Pentecost, after Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Revival's breaking out. People are coming to Christ all over the place in Jerusalem. People are getting healed and getting free. Signs are following the work of the apostles. And this is where we find ourselves. Verse 12, at the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders are taking place among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico. Solomon's portico was like a place in the temple that they would meet. But none of the rest dared associate with them. However, the people held them in high esteem. Basically, what's going on is a bunch of people are gathering to hear the word of God, to hear about Christ. They're being added to the church. And there's a whole bunch of people on the outside or the peripheral. They're not yet willing to be identified with those apostles or identified with those new Christians, but they're watching from the outside because something's happening with these disciples, with these Christians. And I'm going to challenge you today. That's happening in your life, and you may not even realize it. There are people that have not identified the fact that they're watching your life. They have an esteem for you, but they don't sit there and tell you about it. But you see, they see something upon your life. They see a light. They call it a light. They call it a glow. They call it a peace. They call it something. They don't know what it is, but they see something about you, and they're not willing yet to identify that they're watching you, but they're watching you. Something about you is catching their eye, and I'm trying to tell you what that is. It's the anointing of God. It's not that you're so handsome or you're so pretty or you're so great or whatever. It is the kingdom of God that is emanating from you, and it's drawing their heart, and it's drawing their attention, and they've got their eye on you. Amen. And all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of the men and women were constantly added to their numbers to such an extent that they even carried the sick out into the streets and they laid them on cots and on pallets so that when Peter, this is one of the disciples, came, at least his shadow might fall on any one of them. Now, the understanding there is they brought him so that his shadow would fall on them and be healed or delivered or whatever. And also the people in the city and in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing people who were sick, afflicted of unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. So what's the deal with the shadow? I want to talk to you about the shadow for a minute. Now, the concept here is that the people believed that if they could get close enough to Peter, that they would be healed or that they would be delivered. I don't believe personally it was a theology of the shadow. Like the power's in the shadow. I think the shadow was used as a point of reference of distance. So maybe he has a 5-foot shadow. So the people, they must have started experiencing it to have expectation for it. Does that make sense? So that if people could get just within 5 feet of Peter, they would be healed. He didn't even have to say anything. He didn't even have to touch him. He didn't have to do anything. If they could get within 5 feet of him, now if someone's taller and they have a 6-foot shadow, then they could just, you know, that's even better, right? Because that's even further out. You know, don't get all weird on me and start worrying about the distance. Some people are like, oh, I bet you I'm only at a 6-inch window right now, and maybe I could develop that to a foot and then to 3 feet or whatever. Look, but what I want to help you understand today is this. It's not about that, but it's this idea that Peter was a man just like you. Nothing special about Peter. I'm sorry if I just popped your bubble about the apostles. Peter used to cuss all the time. Peter just had a hot head. And Peter was a human being, forgiven, filled with the Holy Spirit, and filled with the power and the presence of God, just like you. Isn't that awesome? We need to see that the apostles, yeah, go ahead. But what I want you to see is that radioactive, that he walks into a crowd, he walks into a room, and people's lives start changing just by being there, just by being present and bringing with him that which comes with all of us, the kingdom of God. There's an unseen power and presence that goes with you to the hospital if you work at a hospital. Or maybe you go to pray for a family member. I love it when volunteers go and pray for the sick. And just by you being in the room, you change the atmosphere of that room. It's not because you're so special. It's because with you comes the presence of God, the peace of God, the power of God. I'm trying to remind you. Sometimes people think, what could I do going and visiting that person in the hospital or going and visiting that widow who's in her home all alone and that there's a cloud of sorrow over her house? It's not about your stature. It's about what comes with you. But if you don't think anything comes with you, then you always look at your deficiency. And you say, I have nothing to offer. I have nothing to give. Yes, you do. You have an anointing from the Holy One. You have an anointing from the Holy One. And there's wisdom that'll flow from you. And there's love that'll flow from you. But there's also power that will flow from you. And it will begin to turn their mourning into dancing, their sorrow into joy. It can push their sickness and you can bring healing into their body. But if you don't go, that power doesn't go. Because we're carriers of it. The radioactivity goes with us. Like Peter, that was tangible. That was real to them. If they could just get close enough. And sometimes with the apostles, I just want to say this to say this. And again, maybe it's not popular in religious circles, but I just want to remind us, the apostles were never meant to become the ceiling of what we're able to do and believe for in results. We put the apostles up in statues. We put them up in stained glass windows. And we always put them up high as if they're the epitomized life, and we will always live down here. Do you understand the psychological damage that does? We will never measure up to them. We were never meant to emulate them. We were meant to emulate Jesus. You understand? And Jesus in himself was trying to spur against that idea and said, you're going to do even greater works than me. Do you understand? It brings honor to the Lord to do more. Now, I'm not saying that our theology changes. I'm not saying that we change the pillars of faith they put in place. But we should be 2,000 years more mature, more productive than the apostles even were, because no one had ever known how to move in the Spirit back in the early church. But now we've had 2,000 years of practice. We should get better with practice. And we should be having more results and more fruit. And so the apostles are not the ceiling. They were the foundation of the prophets, the foundation of the house, things that we stand on and help us stay stable and secure. They were never meant to be the ceiling. We've made the foundation the ceiling. And so you can't look at Peter and say, oh, well, that was because it was Peter. Peter is a person just like you. And I want to bring us back to that. Remember that, which means we can believe that when we walk into a room, there can be power and love and the presence of God that's flowing from us that can then, we can intentionally walk into a den of lions or wolves. Maybe the boardroom is a den of wolves, but God has assigned you in that business and you can say, that which is upon me goes with me into that den of wolves, and it will shut the mouths of lions and it will bring the wisdom of God in that room. And because I'm in that room, I will change the atmosphere. It's not because, again, of your education or your degree. Those things are great, but there's a power upon you. And I want to remind you, there's a power upon you today. You have an anointing from the Holy One. Amen. I want to talk about the realness of us, the tangibility of it. There was the story of the woman with the issue of blood in the Bible. This lady had been bleeding for 12 years, and the Bible says she spent all that she had on doctors. She wasn't getting any better, but she heard that Jesus was coming to town, and she believed in her heart that if I could just touch but the hem of his garment, I would be healed. And she did it. She pressed through the crowd. She reached and she grabbed a hold of Jesus' robe, and in that moment, she was healed, and Jesus stopped. You've heard the story, some of you, before, and he says, "Who touched me?" And his disciples, they're like, "Everybody. It's a big crowd here." And he says, "No, somebody touched me because I felt virtue, which is power, flow from me." Now, I want you to, the reason I say that is this. Jesus was identifying the tangibility of the power of God flowing from him. It wasn't mystical. It wasn't a theory. It was real. There was real power that Jesus identified. He could sense it coming, someone drawing it from him. And I'm telling you, now that was the only place in the Bible that Jesus talks about feeling, by the way. I don't want you to get a weird doctrine that says you have to feel anointed to be anointed. As a matter of fact, even in that illustration, I want to help you with feeling really quickly. Going back to the baseball illustration, I feel like the Lord gave me this yesterday. A lot of times, you don't feel the power flowing from you until it connects with something. Just like when you swing a baseball bat, you don't feel anything unless you hit the ball. But the moment you hit the ball, you feel it connect. And that's what I'm telling you with the anointing. You keep swinging, and pretty soon you're going to connect with the word. You're going to connect in that healing. You're going to connect in that deliverance. And you can, and I've done it. You're in a situation. I'm in a conversation and I'm sharing love. I'm sharing truth. And all of a sudden, a specific sentence comes out and I could feel it connect and I can sense the anointing in that moment. And what I'm trying to help you pay attention to is you need to realize God's doing something in that moment and don't let the ball get teed up and you miss the thing. Did I just lose you in that? I feel like I lost you there. Just say amen by faith then. That's fine. You may not feel it until it connects with something. Don't wait to feel to flow. See what I'm saying? You just start flowing and you start serving, you speak, you do your deal, you be there, you be, you know, light be, you be, and then all of a sudden there's this moment where which is all what's been resonating from you, what's been emanating, it hits, it connects, and you can sense it's connecting to something right now. And then you begin to amp up your awareness. Okay, God, what am I supposed to do now? Because I can sense that virtue is flowing. But what I'm saying is you don't wait to feel to swing. You don't wait to feel to get involved. You don't wait to feel because you know that there's this anointing that's flowing from your life. And it was real. Jesus talked about the reality of that power flowing from him. It was real. It was tangible. The presence and power of God is real, flowing from us. You can change a room or a situation just by stepping into it. You are anointed. Now, going back to the idea of the anointing is always working, even when you're unaware, there's another story I want to bring you back to with Jesus and a guy by the name of Zacchaeus. Now, you may be unaware of Zacchaeus. The Bible says that Zacchaeus was a wee little man. And a wee little man was he. Climbed up in a sycamore tree to see what he could see. The Bible says that Jesus came by one day, saw Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was a criminal. He was a crook. But again, he had been watching from afar what was happening with Jesus. And Jesus walks by that tree and he says, "Zacchaeus, today I'm going to eat dinner at your house." And so they go to Zacchaeus' house and they begin to have a meal. Now, I don't know at what point in the meal, and the Bible doesn't record some big sermon. The Bible doesn't record some big spiritual thing going on. It says they were eating together. It might have been during the matzo ball soup. It might have been during a leg of lamb. I have no idea at what point in the meal it was, but all of a sudden, Zacchaeus couldn't stand it anymore. He throws his spoon down on the table, and he says, "Fine, I repent, and I give back all the money I've stolen from all these people, and I'm even going to add to it." And Jesus takes another little eat of soup there, sets his spoon down, and says, "Today the kingdom of God has come to this house." Here's what I want you to see. Jesus was just having dinner with the sinner. And the power and the presence of God is working on this guy's life. See what I'm saying? And then in that moment, see, it connects, and Jesus now knows what he's supposed to be doing in that moment. And that's the same thing I'm talking to you about. Sometimes it's about just putting yourself around hurting people. It's about having them over for supper. It's about taking them out for coffee. It's about getting in that teacher's lounge. It's about getting in that hospital room. It's just about getting there. And then that presence, that radioactive, radiant power of God is emanating from you, and it hits something, and then you know what to do. Do you see what I'm saying? And again, it's not about feeling. It's not about feeling powerful. There are days you wake up and you feel powerful, like you could part the water in the water fountain. There's days you wake up and you feel nothing, like you didn't even have the power to part your hair. Listen, it's not about what you feel, right? It's about what's real and what's upon you. You know, going back to the idea of feeling it, there's another story in the Old Testament about a prophet named Elisha. Elisha was a servant of a prophet named Elijah. Elisha had some tremendous miracles happen through his life. The Bible records that after he died, he was buried in a cave. And there comes a point, I think it's 2 Kings chapter 13, where these young men are walking out of town. They're about to bury a friend, and a band of robbers, I thought it was a bear, I went back and looked it up, it's a band of robbers comes out and scares this group of young men, and they take their dead friend, and they're like, quick, and they throw their friend in a cave, and they run away. But the Bible says this, that the moment that corpse was thrown into that cave, it landed upon the dead, dried bones of Elisha. And when that dead person hit those dead bones, the dead man came to life. Amen. Why? Because the anointing that was on Elisha, the presence, the power. Here's what I say. So there's times in your life you say, I feel really dead on the inside. I'm telling you, you're still anointed. You see what I'm saying? They say, I feel really dry. You're no drier than Elijah's dead bones. Amen. Say, well, I don't feel anointed. Neither did Elisha. Right? But even on your worst day of feeling, you're still the most powerful person in the room. You see what I'm saying? Even when you feel dry, and that's what the devil wants. The devil wants you to wait to feel better before you function in kingdom. And I'm telling you, function, you by faith. Maybe you had a horrible day. You feel dry. You haven't had worship music on. You've been fighting with everything and everybody. Your hair won't work. Your clothes don't work. This traffic's terrible. Your coffee was wrong. I get that. I need deliverance over that sometimes. It's the worst thing. First world problem. It's horrible. And you get to the office and you don't feel anointed. You don't feel anything. You feel dry as Elisha's bones. But I'm here to tell you that you are still the most powerful anointed. You're still anointed. And there's some, the presence of God is emanating from your life. It's not about what you feel. Like I said, Elisha didn't feel anything. He's dead. But you're anointed, and the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. You're anointed. Amen. And it's time to start having a belief in that. Your presence may even provoke people when you walk into a situation, into a new job, into somewhere, and they don't know why. They may love you. There's just something about you. Like I said earlier, they call it a, there's a peace on you, or there's a light. A lot of people will use that phrase because they don't have the word anointing. They don't understand spiritual things. And so they say, there's just something different. There's a light about you. And they don't know how to verbalize it. They're telling you of what I'm talking about. You don't just look like a human being to them. Something is emanating from you, and it's about time you believe it again. Because it's real and it's biblical and it's to be expected, and it's for us to start having faith and belief and confidence in, because it's going to change the way we walk into a room. It's going to change the way we walk into a situation. Are you understanding? And so there's an attraction. There's a likability about you. They're being drawn. It's not because you're so special. You're so sweet. You're so wonderful. You need to remember God is drawing these people to me, which means he's got an agenda for them. See, when I say you walk into a room and change the atmosphere, change the room, it's not about walking into the room so that they see you so that you feel important. You walk into the room and you see them, and you know you are able to help and serve them for whatever mission God has you there for. But they're being drawn and they're being attracted to you, and that happens. Sometimes you're like, why do these people like me so much? They love me, and they didn't even know me. And they're doing favors for you, and you're being promoted to certain things. Please don't pat yourself on the back so much. You start listening to what God has you there for. Okay. Now the flip side is true. And some of you have experienced this. Where yes, some people can be attracted and to like you, and they don't even know why. There are people that you walk into a room and they hate you. And you don't even know why. You walk in and it's like you can say good morning and they're like, I mean, they were talking to their drinking buddies a minute ago. They were fine. You walk in, they're like, ah! They're trying to slam doors in your face. They're trying to cut you out from under the rug. They're trying to get you fired. And they're not trying to get their drinking buddies fired. You see what I'm saying? Trying to get you fired. And you think to yourself, what have I done to these people? I haven't done anything. And I want you to know, again, That's the validity of what I'm talking about. The presence of the kingdom that is on you is provoking them. And they're not resisting you, they're resisting the kingdom that's on you. They're resisting the anointing that's on you because that anointing is coming and it's exposing that anointing. Even without you saying anything, it's irritating them. Even without you doing anything wrong, it's irritating them. Because that kingdom's coming to transform that kingdom of darkness and expose light. And that irritates people who like living in darkness. And that's not even you being a preacher. That's not even you just like, repent or go to hell. It's just happening because you're there. Now, I want to remind you of this too, because this is where sometimes if we don't understand these things, we take on a spirit of rejection. And we're like, when they reject us or they become hostile towards us, we shrink back and we're like, what's wrong with me? What am I doing wrong? And I must be a problem that, you know, I'm not good enough. And you start listening to the voice of Goliath. You see what I'm saying? And what I'm trying to help you identify is the problem is not with you. The problem is it the spirit that's upon them. You see? Now, let me qualify that and say this. If you're being lazy on the job, if you're being rude, if you're not being helpful, if you are a jerk, you deserve the criticism and to be fired. You can't say, oh, it's just because I'm a Christian. No, it's because you're an idiot. And you're not acting right. But if you can go through your life, you say, look, I'm walking in love. I'm giving my best. I'm showing up on time, even early. You know, I'm serving. And if you can go through the checklist and say, look, okay, I'm doing what I need to be doing, and that hostility is there, then maybe it's time to wake up and realize that the kingdom of darkness is intimidated by you rather than you being intimidated by it. You just identifying what was already there. See, they were all hanging out in darkness and you lit a lamp. But now you understand that God puts you there for a reason and gives you ability to pray and also gives you expectation to know that greater is he that is in you than he that is in that world. Amen. But you don't go running away because they don't like you. You begin to understand why they don't like you and realize it's part of the package. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. For our lives are a Christ-like fragrance, rising up to God, but this fragrance is perceived. Listen to that. This fragrance, this aroma coming from us, it is perceived. It's differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. To those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell of death and doom. But to those who are being saved, we're a life-giving perfume. And who is adequate for such a task as this? But I want you to see that there is something emanating, radiating, that they're perceiving. Are you understanding this? But it's time for you to understand what's going on. The kingdom is radiating from you. Go into the culture. Go into the workplace. That's always been kingdom mentality. Even way back with John the Baptist, the kingdom Christianity has always been going to all the world. So many world religions, when you come into their religion, it's all about separating from the world. You found the holy message. You found the new prophet. You found the holy huddle. So come out from this horrible world. Leave your family. Leave your job. Leave your career. You know, and come and just huddle around and come out of culture. But Christianity, from its beginnings, has always been infiltration of culture. When Roman soldiers and tax collectors would come to John the Baptist to be baptized while he was getting them ready for the Lord, when he was getting them ready for Jesus to show up, they would repent, they'd be baptized, and they say, now what do we do? And they were expecting, like every other normal, modern day, at that time, religion, for John to say, quit your job and just come and hang out with me. Because that's what Christians, religious, that's what holy huddles do. But John looked at them and he said, go back to being a soldier, go back to being a tax collector, and do it right this time. You see what I'm saying? And go make amends. And then Jesus, when he comes, obviously, you know Jesus, he says, go and make disciples in all the world. What am I saying here? Christianity has always been go affect change in the world, not come out of it, which means then God would never send you to do something that you're not empowered or capable of doing. And so I want to remind us today that real Christianity is always about going into dark places, going into mountaintops, going in, but you're not going in alone. And being spiritual, that's why when people talk about the Holy Spirit and they want to have Holy Spirit services, if those services all draw people into a central place and never turns the river out, then it's incomplete. those revivals that just become inside of a building or come touch me, bless me in here, but it doesn't go with you. And I'm telling you, the power goes with you, and it's this confidence. And that's the way Christianity just is built. It was built to go with you and to be mobilized so it could go into the world. It was designed not for the world to like come into buildings, but for us to go into our culture. It's always going to be that way. And you're equipped to then confidently put yourself in places of need, in places of culture, in places of hurt and darkness, and to say, I'm anointed to be here, and then change the atmosphere when you're there. See, we engage in culture. We get close, we get involved, but we don't become like it. See, we're in the world, but we're not what? Of the world. You can't change culture if you're like it. Religion wants to separate or isolate us from the culture. The kingdom engages us into the culture. I want to remind us, Acts chapter 10, 38, this is why we're anointed. Because if you don't know why you're anointed, sometimes you try to think, I'm anointed for self confidence or for people to think I'm special. Listen, the anointing is all about servanthood. I said that a minute ago. When you walk into a meeting, you walk into a room and I say you're going to change the atmosphere, it's not about you feeling important or powerful. It's like Jesus putting on a towel and washing his disciples' feet. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And this is why. To go do good with it and heal all who are oppressed of the devil. Why is it so important that you grab a hold of your anointing? Because your anointing is going to help you do the good that God's called you to do. And to do more than you could do in your natural abilities. He'll utilize your natural abilities. He'll utilize your natural bends and talents. But then that anointing is the only thing that can break the spiritual yokes. See, because just your kindness without the anointing can't set the captive free. Just your food without the anointing can't deliver them from bondage. Do you see what I'm saying? The anointing needs to be on the good works. That's why just social services can't change their life. We must be social and we must serve, but we must be anointed in it. Because again, it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power to go do the good and heal all oppression of the devil. And so you see oppression, you see hurt, you see people in pain. Oppression manifests itself in so many ways. Manifests itself in sickness, manifests itself in heartache, manifests itself in loneliness, manifests itself in poverty. And guess what? You're anointed to change all of those things. That's what the anointing is on you to do. And so again, it's about us realizing who we are, what's radiating you radioactive, and then start walking out confidently and asking God, here am I, send me into those places. And not looking at your age, not looking at your gender, not looking at whatever nationality, and you just start looking to what God has placed on you. You have an anointing from the Holy One. Why don't you stand? We're going to close in prayer today. Did you get anything out of that? You have an anointing from the Holy One.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to find out more about Life Church, visit www.lifechurchag.com and engage with us on social media at Life Church AG on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.